Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, going over the seas to preview the 2025 Genesis Scottish Open the week before the British Open, the Open Championship. We'll have that covered for you as well. Took a couple weeks off because of traveling and me just being a dum-dum last week and forgetting all about it, to be honest, so that was my bad. But we are back to preview the second strongest field of the season outside of the Players' Championship. So that'll be fun. But first off, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, my friend?
I'm good. I mean, neither one of us were touting Brian Campbell to win last week, so we didn't. You know, nobody missed anything.
Didn't miss much. Yeah, very true. Very true. Like
two-time winner this year, Brian Campbell.
I saw a tweet. It's Scheffler, Straka. I know I'm blanking on the Rory, I think, are the only other two-time winners this season. Maybe one other person besides, like, it's bad. It's real bad, basically. So kudos to the Brian Campbell shares. It's been funny listening to, like, between Twitter and just some podcasts I listened to today, people saying if he somehow, like, wins another event or has a couple top tens, which he does, either wins or doesn't make the cut, basically, he actually might be close to qualifying on points for the Ryder Cup, which would be terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that would be a very odd situation, but
like, I know we'll talk Ryder Cup at a later date and time, but to be honest, when I see the standings, the way things look, I think if you're not putting money on Team Euro, you're probably doing things wrong right about now. That U.S. team does not look – maybe I'm overthinking it, but it's not like
the Europeans are, like, playing really great right now. Like, Rory's not played good since the Masters. Hovland, kind of trending upward. Oberg, what's he been doing? Fleetwood, true, probably the best player of the last month and a half.
Yeah.
And obviously, that can change a lot between now and then. But, I mean, Fitzpatrick, is he going to make the team?
That's true. We're going to talk Fitz today. That's for sure. We'll definitely talk Fitz. But, it's just on paper, it's an interesting look. But, again, we'll talk plenty of that.
It feels to me like neither team is good. And in the years past, we've gone in and you're like, this team is stacked, you know? It's just weird.
Well, yeah, it used to be like superstar after superstar after superstar. Now you're just like, what are we doing here?
I guess maybe some of that is live because we're not seeing Rahm every week. We're not seeing Bryson every week.
Yeah, it's fair.
Unless you're watching live, which if you are, I'm sorry. But, so it's just weird, man. We're in a weird spot here.
That's fair. That's a good point indeed. So, yeah, we'll see where that goes. Looking forward to the drama, quote unquote, that unfolds with the Ryder Cup captain's picks. But we're going to skip right through Brian Campbell's playoff victory for the second time this season. And we're going to head to the Scottish Open, the Genesis Scottish Open. It's at the Renaissance Club, Jesse. So what do you have for some past event history for us?
Yeah, like we were talking before, this is the fourth year of the European Tour, or I guess DP World Tour now, PGA Tour collab. So this will be the fourth year of that. Last year, Bobby Mack, winner, 18 under, one shot over Adam Scott. 2023 was Rory, 15 under, one shot over Bobby Mack. 2022 was Xander Schauffele, 7 under, one shot over Kurt Kitayama. And when it wasn't a dual event, I guess a collab event or whatever you want to call it, Minwoo Lee won in 2021, Aaron Rye in 2020, Bernd Wiesberger in 2019. And there's some, remember Rafa Cabrera Bello? What happened to him?
I used to be a big RCB fan. He was a staple of the show for a while.
I know. That's crazy. He won 2017. I don't know who Brandon Stone is, but he won in 2018.
He's in the field today.
Norin, Fowler, Justin Rose, past champions.
Yeah. Well, things have changed at least, being year four of the DP Tour / PGA Tour combo here, because it's been actually good finishes the last 3 years. I guess strength of schedule wise, if we're talking, you know, sports, other sports terms, the cream has risen to the top on this one, and it's a golf course we should know very well. Again, the Renaissance Golf Club's a par 70, a little less than 7,300 yards in North Berwick, Scotland. it's a links course, but it's not your prototypical links course, if that makes any sense, because there still is a lot of like trees and parkland, but there is the ocean and the links part of it. So it's not like it's an all inland course. Like, it's not Valspar by any means, but it's not just the wide open grounds like a normal links course. You're going to have wind being the major factor, which you hear pretty much every time you talk about a course in Scotland, Ireland, Britain. That's just the name of the game. If it's not windy, most of these courses are quite gettable because you do get runouts from the links. The greens are usually pretty large, so two putts could be very important here. You're looking at a ton of bunkers. You got the pop bunkers in the fairways. I think it's like 85 to 90 bunkers on the course. Again, if it's not windy, you can almost bomb and gouge this golf course. But if it's very windy, then you got guys like Bobby Mack and company that can kind of rise to the top on this one. You will get some heavier rough slash fescue-y areas in certain spots, but they're usually far enough off to not be a massive issue on this. There's three par fives, all over 575 yards, but they're all very gettable in two, unless the wind is howling in your face. Five par threes and 10 par fours. Six of the par fours are over like 460 yards, so on the longer side of things, but very slow greens as you see on these courses because of the wind potential. And I guess it's the name of the game is avoid the pop bunkers if possible, and don't three putt a ton, and you'll probably find your way in contention, or at least into the weekend, I'll say, and see where things go from there. So what do you have for some stats you're looking at this week?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it, obviously this is a lot of weather dependent. I mean, definitely keep an eye on the weather, and there's always potential, especially over there, for some bias as far as draws go. So keep an eye on that. But hitting greens is important. Birdie or better is what I will, depending on the, I mean, obviously if it's very, very bad weather, then you would want to go bogey avoidance. But given the last couple of years, birdie or better, par five scoring and scrambling matters.
Yep. Yep. Par five is going to be tremendous this week. If it's not windy, if they're not taking advantage of this, you'd be in trouble. All right, let's get to the DK picks for the week. And again, loaded field, as we said at the top of the show here. And you got three guys over 10K. You got Scotty at 13-1 in a class of his own, as usual. Then you got Rory at 11-4 and Xander, who has won here before, at 10-1. So, Jesse, what do you like in the 10K and above range?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Scotty Scheffler is what he is. He finished third here in his last start, which was 2023. He did not play this event in 2024, or I don't have stats for it. Either way, hasn't finished outside the top 10 since the Players' Championship.
That's crazy.
In March. Yeah. Just doing Scotty Scheffler things. And, you know, I think Xander is playable, obviously past champion. He's won an Open Championship or two, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
I believe Xander, didn't he?
Positive.
Yeah, he's real foolish here. I feel like he won it last year.
He won it last year. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I was like, I didn't want to speak out of term. Like, I'm pretty sure it was last year. Like that Sunday just dominance.
Yeah. Yeah. So he finished 15th here last year and then went on to win the Open Championship. You know, he's never missed a cut in four starts at this event. So I think Xander is playable. It's just kind of a weird like deal with Xander. Like, he's not coming in great form, but at the same time, he won the PGA Championship last year before. I mean, he was playing much better golf coming into this event last year. It's just weird to pay that much, but you know, I would suspect that if people are paying up, they're paying for Rory or Scotty. It's hard for me to trust Rory right now. Obviously, he's won here, but it's like, where's your head at? He did finish sixth at the Travelers, 19th at the U.S. Open, so missed cut the Canadian, but it's not like he's playing terrible golf, but it's just a weird range, man. I mean, I don't know. I may avoid it altogether or just play Scotty.
Yeah, to your point of it being weird, I'm really not in love with I'm probably on the more avoid of it side than with you.
Yeah.
Scotty's the clear crop here, and putting's always been his issue, and he's actually putting very well right now, and that's why he keeps finishing so highly. We know the ball striking is always in play. He's number one in my model, probably number one in all models if your model is accurate. So yeah, Scotty, I have zero problem if you want to go the Scotty route. I just kind of, when you get into the 6K range, there's a few guys, but it gets murky is the nicest way I'll put it. So I like to kind of have some balance here, and I really like the 9K range. Probably not alone on this one, but there's a lot of like in this 9K range. Speaking of that, Tommy Fleetwood leads the way at $9,900. Colin Morikawa at 96. Ludwig at 94. Big Vic Hovland at 93. JT at 92. Bobby Mack at 91. And Sam Burns at $9,000. Where are you going here?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some guys in this range that have come in with great form. Fleetwood leads it off. You know, he almost probably should have won the Travelers.
Yes, he should.
Just a tough scene there. We didn't get to talk about that, did we? Or the U.S. Open, the finish of that. But yeah, it's been a minute since we've had a podcast. Either way, you know, Tommy's coming in with in pretty good form. He did miss the cut at the U.S. Open. Before that was 16th, 4th, 41st, 4th, 7th. So playing really solid golf. And we're not on U.S. soil, so a win is potentially more likely. Morikawa finished 4th here last year, coming off a 8th place finish at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And then hasn't missed a cut in forever, so I think he's very playable. Bobby Mack, past winner, 2nd place the year before that, had a great showing at the U.S. Open, had a chance to win that. Just obviously, JJ made a massive putt there. And then the Travelers the next week finishes 17th, so playing solid golf. And then Sam Burns, another guy with great form coming in here. He should have probably won the Canadian Open, played very well at the U.S. Open, and was in contention for 98% of it until that 78 on Sunday when he was in standing water and didn't get any relief. But either way, playing great golf, 17th at the Travelers his last time out. So basically top and bottom of this range for me.
Yep. I think Fleetwood is going to be chalky, but it's chalk I really want to get a piece of at $9,900, coming in great form, as you mentioned. Right now, and then also we talked Ryder Cup, probably the top player in Europe at this point in time. So love me some Fleetwood at $9,900. Just the ball striking is on point. And the best part is, you said it sarcastically, but you're not wrong. It's not U.S. soil. Morikawa at 96 is interesting. He's got good history at this golf course. When we're talking Morikawa, he has the T4 here last year at this event. And we also got a guy that's coming in. Got the T8 at the Rocket Mortgage, 42nd, 23rd, 20th. It's been a roller coaster for Morikawa. A lot of it is with the putter for Morikawa. So we'll have to kind of see how that plays out, but it could be an interesting spot here at $9,600. Hovland, you mentioned earlier, starting to come around. He's 3rd in my model at $9,300, 2nd in approach over the last 24 rounds. He's 1st on the par 3 from 2 to 225, and he's 2nd on par 5s in this field over the last 24 rounds. So Hovland's another guy that comes down to his putters, you know, the slower greens. Maybe Hovland could be more aggressive. Who knows? I think Vic at 93 is very enticing. I like Bobby Mack pretty much all the time. And then Sam Burns is 4th in my model. I said I really like this 9K range. I got Hovland at 3rd in my model and Burns at 4th. I've been playing a lot of Burns lately. He's one of the top putters in the field. He's 3rd in this field over the last 24 rounds. He's 1st on the par 4s from 450 to 500. Mentioned 6 of the 10 or 460 plus. He's 5th in the par 5 scoring. His par 3 scoring is the worst part of his game right now. I'll take my chances there. And it's a Sam Burns that, again, is coming in really good form, obviously, based on those numbers we talked about. But talking 17th at the Travelers, 7th at the Open, 2nd at the Canadian Open, 12th at the Memorial. I like what we're seeing there. He finished 19th here 2 years ago. So Burns I like quite a bit at 9,000.
One real quick thing on Hovland. If you remember, he withdrew from the –
yes.
The last tournament he was in, which he shot 63 on Saturday, then withdrew. And I just looked it up, and it was he withdrew due to a neck injury. He felt a crack in his neck while warming up for the round and experienced discomfort while playing the first 2 holes.
That is not ideal.
So but I mean, it's also beware of the injured golfer. So who knows?
And it'd be nice if we actually had someone reporting on site about that today. Like that would be a question. Maybe first time out there. Hey, Vic, you're warming up on the range. How's the neck feeling?
Yeah.
Simple questions. I don't know. But I did see on Instagram last week he was testing out new drivers. So I'm hoping that means the neck's okay. We'll see. But to your point, if you shoot a 63, probably not withdrawing right away unless you're actually hurt. So, right. To your point. So that's something I will monitor. Yes.
Yeah.
That is a good point. Very good point on that one. All right. 8K range. You got Connors at 89. Another guy's been playing banged up of late. Fitzpatrick at 88, where you can't miss his name if you look anywhere or listen to anything right now. Straka at 87, Scott at 86, Fox at 85, Harry Hall at 84, Aaron Rye at 83. Those two gloves come in handy on this kind of conditions. Wyndham Clark at 82, Spahn at 81. I don't think we've talked since he won a golf tournament. Yeah. Harris English at 8,000 and McNeely at 8,000. So what do you like in this range?
I would like Corey Connors, but like you said, he did. I think he got a wrist injury at the U.S. Open.
U.S. Open,
yep. Trying to hack out of that rough at Oakmont. So I don't know. That would be something to ask him about as well. Sepp at 87. He has missed two cuts at this event and two starts, so that's not great. 45th, the Travelers miscut the U.S. Open. Third, Memorial miscut PGA Championship. First, the Truest. Like, I don't know if anybody plays any more ridiculous, like, on and off golf than Sepp Straka, but it makes him a good GPP play for that matter. Adam Scott at 8,600. He was in contention at the U.S. Open and shot 79 on Sunday. But, man, he is just making cuts, cashing checks. So I expect him to make the cut this week at minimum. And then the other one I have checked off here is Mav McNeely, 8,000. He finished 16th here in 2022, which was his last time at this event. 17th, his last start at the Travelers, 37th at the U.S. Open, and 5th at the Memorial. So three straight solid starts for Mav there at 8,000.
Yeah, I mentioned when I read these names that Fitzpatrick is extremely popular, and I love the guy. $8,800, 12th in my model. Been talking about him the last few times we recorded that it seems like it's starting to slowly come around, and it has definitely come around for Fitzpatrick. Clearly, 8th at the Rocket Mortgage, 17th, 38th, 31st. So the last couple of ones have been really solid. It's a guy that finished 39th here last year, miscut 6th in 2022 over the last 24 rounds. Again, 12th in my model. He's 5th on the par 4s we're looking at here, which is tremendous. He's 16th in approach. Like, he's not dazzling things, but week to week he's improving. He's also a guy that we know has picked up distance with the driver. So if the weather does calm down, bomb and gouging could come into play. Fitzpatrick could hang around at 88. So don't mind him at all. Just know going to be extremely popular this week. Ryan Fox at 85 stands out to me. He's 12th on the par 4s, 11th in approach, pretty much mediocre in the rest of the categories we're looking at here. 57th, 12th, 47th the last 3 years at this event, which is a plus. He's coming in also great form. 17th, 19th, won the Canadian Open in 20s, so four straight top 20s for Ryan Fox, and plus three straight made cuts here. Don't hate that at $8,500. Harry Hall's playing well at 84, Aaron Rye at 83. Not the best form, one might say, at this point in time, but this is also a guy that finished fourth here last year. I think before this turned into a PGA DP Tour event, I think he actually won this. I think you said that earlier. I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah. 2020.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, okay. And yeah. 17th at the Travelers, 33rd. So back-to-back decent round. So Rye could be in play for you. And then I got Harris English, who's coming in really, really good form of fourth place his last time out. I guess the question comes down to how's he play here, 34th and 42nd. If he can play well, I think at 8K is a really good price for Harris English, who's 28th in my model. It's weird, this 8K range, it ranges from like 9th to mostly 30th. Like, there's a couple outliers, but a really stocked range if you talk just recent form in this 8K range. All right, 75 to 79. You got Pendrith at 79, Rasmus Højgaard at 79, all the way down to Alex Noren, Benny On, Nikolai Højgaard, and Brian Harman at 75. Who do you like in this range?
Nobody at the top. Nick Taylor at 7,600. Three out of three made cuts for him. His best finish was 2 years ago, 2023. Finished 19th. Four straight made cuts for him on tour. 17th Travelers, 23rd U.S. Open, Canadian Open finished 13th, 4th at the Memorial. So he's coming in pretty good form. Tom Kim is strictly a course history play. Current form is terrible, but 15th, 6th, and 3rd in his last three starts at this event. And then Nygaard Pedersen at 7,600. He flashed up the U.S. Open leaderboard for a minute, ended up finishing 12th, and then finished 14th in his last start at the BMW International Open on the Euro Tour. So two solid starts in a row for him. So those are the three that I've got checked off there.
Yeah, for me in this range, I'm looking at if you're doing a single entry, it's not an option probably, but Taylor Pendrith at $7,900. Again, I keep telling myself the way the weather looks now, a lot can change by the time they tee off on Thursday. Thursday looks kind of volatile, but Friday, Saturday, Sunday don't look bad at all things considered. And Pendrith is the prototypical bomb and gouger. He's 15th in my model over the last 24 rounds. He's 20th around the green, which is not bad. He's 22nd in driving distance for the bomb and gouge approach. He's 15th in the par 5 scoring. His par 3s have crushed him. Everything else, he fits out pretty well, all things considered, in this one. He's never played here in the last 3 years since it's been a DP Tour, PGA Tour event, so keep that in mind. But coming in with a 25th, a 38th, a 27th, a 12th, his last four times out. So, again, not lighting the world on fire, but a guy that we know can get wild if the conditions become very conducive. Max Grazerman finished second at the Rocket Mortgage. He's coming in really good form. Don't mind him. Tomas Dietry is another guy that I'm always a sucker for, especially now that we're off the U.S. soil. Current form is not ideal. He's making cuts, but not doing anything fancy. But if you look at recent form here, 26th, 42nd, 10th. So he's shown a little bit of success at this golf course. Tom Kim has finished 15th, 6th, and 3rd here the last 3 years, Jesse, which is wild to think about. I know you mentioned him, but it's just crazy to see he's missed, and then back-to-back missed cuts. He's such a pull. Like, I can't figure him out at all right now.
I'm with you, man.
It's so confusing.
Like, when he first came on tour, you were like, oh, this guy's going to be electric. He's going to be a great player.
President's Cup, all that stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. Maybe it's just like the, I don't know, what is this? He's been on tour for a minute. Junior year slump or something? I don't know.
It's weird. It's weird because he's played so well. It's like if you're playing, like if you're maxing stuff, I wouldn't leave him out, so I'm trying to say.
I agree.
He likes the golf course, and there's a lot to be said about that to get your mind right. So I would keep him in your player pool. On that one, Alex Noren, I love him in these type of events. He's played very well here. Nikolai Hogard, who you mentioned. And then I'll mention Brian Harman. He did win the Open Championship a couple years back. Not coming in the best of form, but it's another guy like in the Tom Kim argument and the Hogard argument, all these guys, 21st and 12th the last 2 years here. He's played very well at this golf course. The links game suits him well, and he's coming in with an 8th at the Travelers, so not a bad finish his last time out. So Harman would be another dude like I wouldn't completely ignore. I'm not like in love with him, but you can mix and match some of these 75 to 79 guys and mix up your player pool quite well. 7K to 74 is large. It starts off with Berger and Thorborn Olsen and Sam Stevens and Keith Mitchell at 74 and goes down to about seven guys at 7,000, finished off by Seabez, Christian Bezanut. What do you like in this range?
7,300, Matteo Manassero. Euro Tour guy, sixth. Mostly Euro Tour, but he's been playing the PGA Tour. Sixth his last time out at the Canadian Open. 49th on the Euro Tour. It's just weird, but the model likes him. I don't even know how you say this guy's name. Aldric Potgieter. Is that how you say it?
Isn't that Potgieter?
Yeah. Yes. He just won the Rocket Classic a couple weeks ago and then withdrew from the John Deere last week after shooting 76 on Saturday. First at the Rocket Mortgage, Charles Schwab finished sixth. He absolutely murders the ball. I'm sure everybody, at least most people, would be aware of him who listened to us. Victor Perez at 7,200. He missed the cut last week, but 10th and 35th in his last two starts at this event. Was playing pretty solid golf before that missed cut. I think he missed it on the number, I don't know, but either way, it was close. Lee Hodges at 7,100, 46th and 12th in his last two starts at this event, coming off a 21st last week. Daniel Brown, 61st here last year, coming off a win at the BMW International Open on the European Tour. Kevin Yu, he's not had any success at this golf course, miscut, but he's playing much better golf this year, I think, than in years past, and he's got a PGA Tour card now, whereas before he was kind of more of a Korn Ferry guy. But either way, 21st last week, 25th at the Travelers, 3rd at the Canadian Open. And last but not least for me, Marco Pinge at 7,000. Another European Tour guy, 11th at the BMW Italian Open, 21st. Sadul Open, 25th, and played the PGA Championship and made the cut and finished 28th there.
Impressive. For me, if we're getting towards the range, that it gets interesting. So Thorborn Olsen would be a guy I like at $7,400. He's coming in with the miscut last week when everybody and their mom liked him, but he's 41st, miscut 36th. At this event, we're talking he's made three straight cuts, the 39th, 25th, 30th. So decent finishes, probably not enough to win a GPP, but not bad. Nicholas Norgaard Moeller at $7,300. He's 24th on my model, fourth in the field in driving distance, 11th in birdie or better. He's 25th in par five scoring. Absolutely love what he brings to the table here. Finished 15th here last year for Mr. Norgaard Moeller, and he finished 46th at the U.S. Open. So don't mind going to him at 73. I got you with Montecero as well at 73. I like that quite a bit. Thurston Lawrence at 72 is another guy that's got some good history here. Vic Perez, I'm with you on. And the last guy I have in this range, actually, I had Matthew Jordan at 7K for a course history fit. But I like Denny McCarthy at $7,200. At 30, he's 33rd in my model. Obviously a phenomenal putter if it comes down to that. He's 18th on the par five scoring of late. And we're talking about a guy in Denny McCarthy who missed the cut here last year in his first time. So grain of salt if you want on that. But also a guy finished 11th last week, 12th, 57th, 55th. So coming in with back-to-back T12s or better, and a guy that can putt lights out. So I like that quite a bit in this situation.
Did you know he hasn't missed a cut since the Open Championship last year? So he missed the Scottish and he missed the Open, and he has not missed a cut since.
That's something to write home about. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's almost a year.
Yeah, that makes me feel even happier about that situation. All right. What do you like in the 6K range?
Well, there are a few guys down here. EVR at 6,900, 39th and 68th in his last two starts at this event. He made the cut, the Rocket Mortgage, finished 78th. Gary Woodland at 6,900. So he's three out of three made cuts here. His best finish was 2023, finished 25th. Coming off a 46th at the Rocket, Travelers finished 36th. Francisco Laporta at 6,800. He hasn't played here since 2022. He missed the cut that year, but made two before that. Seventh in his last start, which was the BMW. This is all European Tour events. Italian Open, 10th. KLM Open, 7th. Sadul Open, 11th. So that's four straight top 11s for Laporta coming into this event. And then last but not least, Jorge Campillo, 26th here last year, 42nd here before that. Did miss a couple cuts in the years prior to that, but another guy is playing European Tour events, 26th, 46th, and 7th in his last three starts on the DP World Tour.
All right. For me, it's not a whole lot. Jacob Bridgman at $1,600, 54th in my model. I'm pretty sure I just had it up here. He has never played here, which was expected from a guy that's just figuring it out this year on the PGA Tour, but 5th at the John Deere, 26th, 52nd, missed cut at the U.S. Open, 31st. So four of the last five cuts made, which I will take there. Romain Langais. Oh, God, I feel horrible. 48th, my Molly, $6,700. That's what I like. He's finished third here last year, 25th the year before. So back-to-back really strong finishes. Obviously, I don't have Euro Tour stats because for some reason they still don't have that. Yannick Paul has great finishes here as well. He's $6,300. And those are the only guys I really like in this range at this point in time. I'm trying to avoid it, like I said earlier, at all costs. All right, let's recap things, Jesse. 10K and above, who do you like?
Scotty.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. 9K range, who are you looking at?
I'm going to say Sam Burns.
Yeah, I like Sammy a lot, man. Probably too much. So you got Sam. There's a lot of guys I like in this range. If Vic's healthy, I love Vic. I'll say that much right now. So I'll just say if healthy, it's Vic. Otherwise, there's other options you can rewind and go check out. 8K range.
Adam Scott.
You like Scotty. I will go with Fitzpatrick at 88. Who do you have for 75 to 79?
Nick Taylor.
I'm going to go with Alex Noren. Who do you like from 7K to 74?
Man, I'm just going to say Denny. You talked me into it and not seeing like that he hasn't missed a cut in a year.
Yeah.
You know, this was his last missed cut, basically. So
true.
Here
true.
We go.
Yeah, you just totally put that into existence. Yeah. I like the Denny play a ton. Other than that, I like Nicholas Norgaard Moeller. I'll go that way as well. So like them both quite a bit. And then 6K, who you got?
Laporta.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Langais guy I can't pronounce properly. I apologize. That'd be my dude. All right, if you're playing cash this week, which you kind of can actually because it's a loaded field, where are you starting out?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I would probably go like Sam Burns. And man, it's just tough with some of these guys that you don't really know about on the European Tour. Adam Scott. So that leaves like 81 in that range. We're going to go with Mav McNeely.
Yeah, I'll really jinx this. I'll go Denny McCarthy, who doesn't miss cuts, with Fitzpatrick.
Zero chance.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick and where'd he go? And Fleetwood. So I'll go with those three. Now, if you're building the tournament lineup, honestly, I wouldn't mind starting out with that as my tournament lineup. But who do you like this week?
Yeah. So we'll go Scotty Scheffler, obviously. Laporta. And then get my dude, Nygaard Pedersen, in the lineup.
I like that as well. I'm going to go with Burns, Norgaard, Muller, and Denny McCarthy. Allows you to do almost anything you want with your lineup. So I will build accordingly that way. I don't plan on doing too many lineups this week, so that might be my focus right there. All right, now the important part. Who do you got winning this thing?
So I'm going to bet Tommy Fleetwood, Sam Burns, and Adam Scott.
I like
that. And then we're going to do a little top 20 on Francisco Laporta. I've talked myself into that.
You are all in on Laporta. I like
it. Yeah, Laporta's, yep, he's the man.
I'm going to have to write that name down in case I do a three max. I'll have to have one, at least one Laporta out there. All right, the T20 world. See, like, even the they have Tom Kim at plus 240. Like, they even acknowledge he's, like, I guess,
yeah, better but than. How could you bet that?
I could. That's what I'm saying. But the fact they haven't priced up that high, it's like they even. Yeah. I was like, because I was looking at that at first. Like, hey, like Brian Harman at 275. Don't hate that. He's played well here. That's got some legs to it at plus 275. But this is definitely one of those, because with weather involved, you can get kind of frisky the farther down you go. Like Norgaard Muller's plus 330. I think that has some legs to it for a guy that's finished well here 2 years in a row. So I don't hate that. And you already mentioned your boy Laporta, which was really good odds.
5-1.
Yeah, 5-1 is really good. My Langace guy, I'd say he's plus 550, 5.5-1. So you're going to get, any Lynx course, any British Open, Scottish Open, there's always going to be a handful of who are these guys at the top 20 when things are all said and done. So never fails. But all right, my friend, we'll wrap it up there. Any final thoughts? We have the Open Championship next week, which should be an absolute, I guess it's Royal Portrush, which should be a really, really fun one there.
Yeah, I don't, but looking forward to that. And won't get to watch probably too awful much of this event because it is, especially for you, it's ending.
Well, I have no chance
when you wake up. But yeah, should be fun. It's always fun to see different places besides TPC, Deer Run.
Yes. This is like, and this is where I'll leave it, and I'll hope it's not controversial. This is where I appreciate Liv for taking the place to different golf courses that in like have other parts of the game to it.
Yeah, 100%.
But at the same time, I get why that's also not an easy thing to do. So it sucks, and that's one thing. Even like Rory and the boys have agreed upon; they'd like to see it more a worldwide tour. So maybe someday,
at least I love non just TPC tour. You know what I mean? Like.
Pretty time. Anytime you see a BS, like you got to shoot 2,500 to win, there's a lot of other golf courses we can go to.
Yeah, so many other. There's so many good golf courses in this country, and a lot of them are private. And a lot of them probably don't want to mess with it, but there's got to be
That's what Feinberg said about the Canadian Open. They didn't want it back there. The one Nick Taylor won on Feinberg's course, the members didn't want it back.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, they didn't want to give up their course for like 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, it sucks, man. That's one like the ISCO now, which was the Barbasol. You know, that I know the membership at that golf course is happy that they don't have to give up. Thankfully, they do have two golf courses, so they weren't as bad. But I mean, when you give it up for 2 weeks out of the year, sometimes 3 or 4 weeks, depending on the tournament, it's like one of those things where we have such a short golf window in my neck of the woods that that's about, you know, you're giving up a 16th of the season, which sucks, man.
Yep. Nope. I get it. So we'll see how it goes, but looking forward to the week. I'll watch the highlights with glee and see where it goes. But we'll be back next week for the Open Championship. Make sure you follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Entrick, and this was your 2025 Genesis Scottish Open preview. Catch y'all next time.